Yeah, which movie Quentin Tarantino owns.
I'm not sure.
That's a weird one. I put down, what movie does Quentin Tarantino, and the first one that comes up, Lick Feet.
The f- I mean, it is a fair question. It is a fair question,
but still. All right, here we go. Going in 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, everybody? This is the Red Band Podcast, your source for all film and TV related news and topics. I am your host, Anthony King, and of course with me is my co-host,
Adrian G. Fuentes.
And sitting over there in the control room is our technical director, Mike Cards.
How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. How you guys doing?
Solid.
Got a lot of film news, got a lot of topics to go over tonight, so let's hop into this, because, man, a lot of shit was dumped in this last week.
That's right. Let's do it.
First, what we got here, man, trailers. A lot of trailers has been dumped this week.
It's that summertime.
We got everyone's getting ready for that summertime blockbuster, so, but a lot of these were, weirdly enough, action horror or action adventures or some type of, like, horror aspects, because we got two different distinct Predator films. Like, yes. One, we have an anthology television series, and then another one is Predator Badlands. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's the next film after Prey, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, same director, same filmmaker, all that stuff. So that's good. That one looks interesting because it seems like Predator is going to be a main character. Yes. Like, the main character, the protagonist.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be doing their own home world.
I have a theory on what I think it might be about. I think we might be seeing, like, the initiation of young Yautja. Into the fold.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, like, it looks like
what's it called? Kind of thing. It's like the process of becoming a man kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Because it looks like they're following the comic books mm-hmm. on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least they're getting a lot of concepts from the comic book itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited for it.
And they had that one thing with Elle Fanning. She seems to be playing two roles, and one of them happens to be an android from the Alien series.
Was it like Weyland?
Yeah, Weyland-Yutani Company, because her eyes flickered and had the logo. So it seems like this might be their second attempt at another Alien versus Predator.
Yeah.
You might get your second AVP, man.
No, also, another people pointed out was in that one shot where they show the skulls.
Mm-hmm.
One of the skulls looked like the aliens from the Independence Day films.
Yes, yeah, that's true. That. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's just another, like, side fun Easter egg. Yeah. I don't think anything big's going to come out of that. Yeah,
I like those kind of things. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting because they also just released a teaser trailer for Alien Earth. Now, it's nothing big. It's nothing really revealing, but they showed, like, the gestation period for how an alien in its hive starts to formulate and become an actual alien.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the teaser trailer was announcing. And then I think we had like a teaser trailer beforehand of just showing a spaceship crashing to Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But maybe that we're having now Alien Productions in and we're getting Predator Productions in, maybe they might start working together to actually start creating a cohesive story again.
Look at that.
We also got Jordan Peele's next film, Him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this seems to be like its own little horror play on sports, specifically football and CTE.
Yes.
The first sports themed horror thriller movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Of the genre. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
I think that would look pretty cool. We've never seen something like that before.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then of course, last what we're seeing is another film by the director and filmmaker from Barbarian, but Weapons. This one looked creepy.
That looks still.
Yeah. Now, nothing was really shown. There was not really big plot points released for that trailer, but it was just a bunch. It seems like some weird incident happened at a specific time at night in a neighborhood where a bunch of children just ran out of their homes and disappeared.
Yeah.
But the way they're running, like the T-posing, airplaning out.
And just in the darkness.
Yeah.
Just no other sound, just them running.
Mm-hmm.
That is very creepy.
It was really creepy with that.
It's just easy.
I just have a theory behind it is, well, during editing, something went wrong in the alt post.
I know.
Fuck it.
See the legs even clipped together and everything.
They had to keep a deadline, so like, oh, we'll just send this in. Oh my God, this is brilliant. Oh my, I'm so excited for it. Yeah, totally. Shit, now we gotta do a movie in their T poses.
Oh yeah, and last I forgot to mention, also with Predators, not only we got Predator Badlands, but what was the other Predator one? It's gonna be Killer of Killers.
Yeah, Killer of Killers.
Which this is an animated anthology series.
Yes. Yeah, it looks like it was made by the same people who did, same animators who did Blue-Eyed Samurai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does look like that.
Yeah, it looks like they're covering different eras. Because it looks like they did the, they showed like Samurai, they show the Vikings, they show, it looks like a World War II.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited for
But this is what you wanted. You always wanted Predator to be a standalone anthology series.
Yes.
You always wanted that. Yeah.
Always wanted because it.
Throughout the time.
Yeah, because in the first, the second film they show him getting the pistol, which shows them they've been actually been coming here for a very long time.
Which that became the main plot point for Prey.
Yes, which I love that movie. So also when they show him that game, the that one shot would show the pistol, I was like, all right, I want to see like throughout, like, obviously they've been here since the beginning of time, so I like to see different pop, you know, major events.
You want to see some like samurai predators and stuff like that.
Yeah, I want to see some samurai predators. I want to see some, like I said, the World War II. Do you even go beyond that? I would like to see, like, I don't know, maybe like out like in Africa hunting or...
I don't know, man. You might get desperate enough and you might see get some weird crossovers, man. You might get the Predator versus Batman.
Dude, don't tease me like that.
Don't tease you like that. But yeah, a lot of trailers. Go watch these ones. These are all pretty interesting. So I'm actually getting more pumped for this summer because, like I said, we don't just have Superman and Fantastic Four. And of course, everyone else also talked about Jurassic Park. You're getting a lot of films coming out, a lot of good ones and interesting ones. So I'm actually looking forward to all these ones.
This is going to be a summer of us reviewing the shit out of
everything. Oh, yeah. For real. We're going to be broke going in theaters, man. Jesus. All right, next what we have in our film news. This is really interesting. So we have an ex-Disney worker who hacked into the menus at Disney World, just now got sentenced to 3 years in prison.
No, it was not more than that, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he got sentenced to 3 years in, 3 years in prison, ordered to pay restitutions of to Disney, $620,000 to Disney, $70,000 to an unidentified software company.
Damn.
So $0.8 million.
Yeah. So seeing what happened here in last June, he got fired after having an argument with a supervisor. And for the next 3 months afterwards, he was hacking into a quote-unquote hacking. I feel like it was one of those things that he just forgot to strip his credentials and his codes and everything and the passwords to his emails and his accounts.
Because they make it seem as if like he... For the next 3 months. Like
he learned coding. Yeah, deep coding. Hacked behind the Disney firewall mainframe. Yeah. No.
Past the Mickey firewall.
Yeah.
Through the Goofy mirror spamware. Like, they probably just forgot to log him out. And he was just logging in. Just like, haha, here's a dick on your menu.
Yeah, so he was changing certain menu items to like specific profanities. And the really fucked up part is a lot of the peanut allergy menus. He was removing the peanut allergy warning for it.
That's
which fucked up. That is the biggest thing right now that got him the 3 years in prison.
Yes. That peanut, tree nuts, shellfish, and milk.
Yeah.
So he removed it off the menus, changed the names up from the Wondering Giddy Up, which blends a lot. That's a drink. He lowered the price by $2. Then he took off the two-way. Some of this doesn't really make sense. He called shellfish to hellfish. Yes. Infamous goose to infamous moose. Again, I don't know why. But then he
sure showed him.
Yeah. But then he said he put profanity, which not telling us exactly what type of profanity.
They probably want to avoid that.
Yeah. But he one of these reports does say he put a swastika at one point in the menu.
Okay.
And also a QR code that led to a Israel, something with Israel, I'm not sure, but but yeah, he was just changing out stuff. Jeez. And he showed up at a former employee's house.
Yeah, so I read that like at like 11 o'clock at night around there, went up to the ring, gave up like a thumbs up and just like walked away.
Do you think that was in his mind? Like, yeah, now you're tied in this with me.
No, he was like, I got you. Dumbass put more evidence on him.
Then wouldn't he just be like that? Like what?
Dude, who knows what he was thinking? He did it for 3 months.
3 months, dude. Like, I can understand, like, the first day you get fired, you go back in. Yeah, one last fuck you. Dicks everywhere on the men. He's like, I get that. But, dude, for 3 months?
Dude, was that argument worth it?
Yeah. I know.
Apparently, originally, when he was in his motion of seeking release upon his arrest, they said that he had mental issues that he had since childhood and was currently seeing a psychiatrist.
I hope he's going for the alcoholic route or, you know, I'm an addict.
Damn.
No, I think it's just like I have mental problems. I think he's just going with that route.
Yeah, but obviously.
And obviously.
Obviously, but not enough where, you know, the only way you're gonna get off of it is if you don't know the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
where you someone has serious mental issues. You, dude, are just
right. Yeah, this guy was pretty high up in the employee chain where he was actually directing and managing a lot of their menus. So he had
just work for Universal, man.
Just work for Universal.
They'll tell you, you know, they're better anyway. You know, I just learned that Universal has a family room.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
They have a family room, so that way if you want to ride swap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, Disney don't have that.
Oh, no. No, of course they don't.
They just stand outside.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Yes, but then last here what we have on our film news. This is actually pretty fun. This is an update from a previous topic we talked about just a little while ago. But Oscar voters, the judges who actually vote for the films for the Oscar, a new rule has been established where it's now actually required of them to watch all the films that have been nominated so they can make a final vote.
Which leads people to ask, they weren't doing that already?
I know.
They like weren't that already
was,
watching? Yeah.
That wasn't a requirement beforehand for you as a judge for the Oscars to actually watch all the films that were nominated. That was never established beforehand.
They're established or their excuses. I'm busy.
And we talked about how ridiculous that was beforehand. Like, why would you even allow them to place a vote if they haven't even seen the other films? That made no sense. And why would you even trust them for being voters if they were so unwilling to watch the films that were nominated? That was the biggest thing we were talking about now. And I felt like they started getting a lot of flack from people when they found out a lot of judges weren't watching all the films. It was never established a requirement.
They were not watching the films, or they were just kind of like, what was it when they were like, oh, we don't think they deserve it, so we won't even bother.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were like, I think he's already had one before, so I'm going to go with this guy.
Or I hated the original one.
Oh, that's right. The one guy with Dune, yeah.
They wouldn't even watch the new Dune because they didn't like the original one.
Yeah.
Or they just enjoyed the original one better, and they didn't even attempt to watch the new one.
Or they watched the first recent, like, newest one.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, I just couldn't keep my eyes open. I don't know if I can do another one for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck you, dude. Like,
your job is to watch a movie.
And we talked about, like, it's on streaming now. A lot of these films hit streaming before it even comes up to the Oscars.
Yeah.
So you can watch it at home. If it's such a big deal, you can press pause, go take a break, and then come back.
No, you're also offered, I believe, like, a lot of... voters are offered at-home services, so which means you either have like a direct line, like a login to watch the movie online, or they sent you a damn DVD so you can watch it at home. Remember, they still do that.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So there's still no excuse like, oh, I don't want to go to the theaters. Dude, watch at your house.
Just do your fucking job as a judge and watch the fucking films.
But I like the theater experience. Then go to the theater. I don't feel like going to the theater for them. Watch the movie.
some of the reasons, like, what's it called? They didn't want to vote for, what was her name from Wicked?
Oh, God damn it. Cynthia.
Yeah. Yes.
Cynthia Erivo. They didn't vote for her because they thought, that at the time, this person thought that she looked too old.
What does that mean?
Exactly what it sounds like.
Did she look good at her job? Did she?
Nah, she just looks kind of old.
Just that's it. She just that's looks
it.
Too old.
That's it. She looks old.
Yeah, see, that's...
Nah, I think we're going to go with the other girl. Like, that's not too far off from 2023, when one here, an anonymous voter, said that at the time when Tar and the Fabelmans were up for an Oscar, and you had Michelle Williams and Cate Blanchett up for Best Actress,
mm-hmm.
they said that Cate Blanchett and Michelle Williams were good, but a little irritating. This guy said his comment on Williams was that she reminded him of his mother. So if you're looking for people to be focused on art rather than vibes, you're already destined to be disappointed. So this guy was like, I don't know. It kind of reminds me of my mom.
Dude, you got mommy issues, man. Dude, there's something wrong with you.
Like, who the hell looks at it and just like,
No,
that's a you problem.
That's my mom.
No, but the fact that in his comments, he made it seem like the entire world saw his mom.
It's like, yeah, I think we all saw my mother in the scene.
Did you not see? I just saw my mother. That was ridiculous.
What was the name of the actress?
You had Cate Blanchett of Tar.
Yes, but what was the other one?
Michelle Williams.
Michelle Williams.
The Fablemans. That's just a weird
person. I don't know, man. That's just weird.
It's like that. What's it called? That scene from Suicide Squad. what's it called? Polka Dot Man?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's him.
I see her everywhere. So he just saw her in Fablements.
Oh, shit. That's so dumb. But yeah, it's trip. Like, how many Oscars have they done?
97.
97. We've had 97 Oscars, and it just took them now to finally make that an established rule.
Honestly, I think it might have been a thing that happened within the last few years where people just gave no fucks.
Just stopped caring.
Yeah.
We're honestly in that weird hippie era.
Mm-hmm.
God, what the hell is it called?
The hipster?
Hipster, yes.
Yeah, hipster, yeah.
We're in the hipster era of movies.
Yeah, I'll actually
know. Almost.
Yeah.
Like, of judges that are like, we're only going to judge the ones that no one's ever heard of. Oh, that's too mainstream.
Have you ever heard of this? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I get that. Yeah, that's true. I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
Hipster level of judges to where it's like, oh, wow, I really liked Doom Part 2. That was really cool. And like the sandworms, like, yeah, I guess it was all right if you liked that kind of stuff. But I mean, have you ever heard of Trois? You never heard of Trois? You're missing out. Honestly, you need to break away from the mainstream media and really dive deep into the real artistic value. Here, I have it actually here on Laserdisc.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if that movie, that one stupid ass movie showed me that has no walls.
Dogville?
Yes. I wouldn't be surprised if we get another one of those fucking movies.
We need another Dogville. No, we don't. Yeah. Fantastic movie. Go see it. Entire movie on a soundstage. No walls.
No walls. Tape on the floor. And
what? I'll
fight till this day. They spent a budget on the actors and they had nothing.
I've never heard of this. Dogville.
We'll come back to it.
I'm looking at this and I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
We'll go back to it.
We're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back. We will open back up. I'll show you a trailer of Dogville and then I'll post a link below for viewers to actually watch that.
Great.
It is perfect. But yes, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back to you guys, we're going to cover our main topic. So stay tuned. We'll be right back to you guys.
Here are some smaller news topics that couldn't make it in today's episode. First up, Sydney Sweeney will be producing the popular Sega classic video game OutRun into a movie, directed by Michael Bay. Keanu Reeves casted as a villain for the mockumentary-style Weezer movie. The movie is described as a cross between Scott Pilgrim vs. the World and Weird, the Al Yankovic story. And finally, Star Wars Lucasfilm head Kathleen Kennedy is set to step down this August. Rumors are circulating either Dave Filoni, Jon Favreau, or J.J. Abrams are candidate as the successor. All their speculations. And that's it for today's smaller news topics. Now, back to the episode.
And we are back, covering over our main topic tonight. Sinners is shattering box office records for the second weekend, man. This movie is hitting hard domestically.
Yep.
Everyone's talking about this. Everyone wants to see this. And even for the second weekend, it only had like, a 6% dip?
Yeah.
Which a film has not done that since like Avatar, like all the way back in 2009. It's been that long since a film has been going this strong for the second weekend in a row.
Yeah, it's holding up real good.
Mm-hmm.
It's
holding up solid.
Yeah, and this is a huge win for Ryan Coogler, not only just for a successful movie, but because of the specific deal he has with the studio in regard to this film.
Yep.
This is actually, has any other film director ever got this type of deal with a film ever?
I think the closest is Tarantino,
right? Tarantino, yeah, because the last time I heard was like with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which after 30 years of this film being released, he will own and retain all rights for the film.
Yep.
Yes.
And just now Ryan Coogler beat that with 25 years for this film. So after 25 years, he will retain all rights back to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I don't think, that's pretty much unheard of
in
Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because if people don't know is that a lot of times you hear like Steven Spielberg or, any director, they make their films, they don't necessarily keep the films themselves. The studio buys them off for a certain price, and then they
retain all the rights to it for merchandising, resales, or anything they want to do with it, for any type of royalties, anything that they do for streaming revenues, all that. That all goes to the studio. So it's not like Steven Spielberg gets most of the money from like Jurassic Park or E.T. or anything like that. Yeah. No, most of those go to the big studios.
Yes.
Now, what he does get is his own little side royalties, which usually a lot of directors now, they get that stuff. Like, he would have originally got his own personal royalties from Sinners, but now that he's going to retain all rights after 25 years, that means if it goes to any type of streaming service, any type of merchandise, any type of like downloads or anything, that money goes straight to Ryan Coogler.
Yes.
And boy, man, that's such a blunder for Warner Brothers, too. And it's scary for them, too. Not just for Warner Brothers, but for a lot of major film studios. Because now, this might be an expectation for film directors. Because they would never thought they could get any type of deal with their films like this. He's making the precedence, like, yeah, filmmakers can now get sweet deals and they can get the rights back to the films.
Yes. Now, this also, they gave him, which I'm not sure if it shows on here specifically, but it's not only domestic, but also international, right? He owns, after 25 years, he'll get that as well.
I'm not sure if they specifically said for international, but I think that would go in longs with the domestic deals too. So I feel like it should be just all pertaining rights to distribution for the film should be going back to him.
No, because the only reason I'm asking that is because I remember, right? I just remember right now that the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise belongs all to the estate of Wes Craven. But New Line Cinema and Warner Brothers own the international rights. What that means is the Wes Craven family owns it for domestic, the US. They own the rights to the entire films, characters, stories. They own everything. But internationally wise, WB still owns that portion.
I wouldn't think they would own international rights, just particularly because this is the type of film that would be on an international market as a big deal. You see what I'm saying? Like, but you wouldn't expect Warner Brothers to think about that. Yes. You see what I'm saying? So it could be like, the biggest thing that I feel that came about with this deal is Warner Brothers needed just a film to hit its time slot around this time.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, let's just get one of these films. You, Ryan Coogler, you wanted a film, right? Yeah, well, here, you'll film this time slot, so make a movie for us, and then we'll be good. And he's like, all right, but I got some deals. And like, whatever, yeah, we'll say yes.
Yes.
That's what I felt like how this deal came to be, because they didn't really have much faith within it.
No, because it's between two time slots. I just looked up, when you said, like, wait, does this make sense?
Yeah.
Sorry. Two time slots between Minecraft and Thunderbolts.
Yeah. So they needed to fill something in between both of those.
Keep in mind as well, this is during a time as well where Warner Brothers said they're going to focus more on the creative aspect of their film and television, that they're moving away from trying to buy assets and trying to create more IPs and things like that.
Allow creators to be creators and stuff like that. Yeah.
And they're also banking on Superman being successful. So they're like...
Yes, but remember, that was more recent comments.
Yeah.
This thing was filmed almost, what, a year and a half, 2 years ago.
That's true. And those were just more in regards to production issues where, like, yeah, let the creators be creators and then you reap in the benefits. This is both letting the creator be its creator, but that creator is going to reap in the benefits later down the road when he retains his rights back. That's something completely separate, which... Like I said, I feel like they just wanted to appease him and they needed to film that time slot. They didn't expect this film to hit this big. And I'm pretty sure now they're wondering how many other film directors are going to be looking at this as an example of what they want in their deals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this also, besides Tarantino and Coogler, this also isn't the first time where a director or actor has had full ownership. I totally forgot about it as well. Jerry Lewis also owns. He owns The Bellboy.
Okay.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You guys remember that movie? He owns complete ownership of it, like 100%. That's why you can't find it on any streaming service, because anyone who streams it 100%
has to pay him. Got that.
Yeah. He licensed out remake rights, but never the actual movie itself. I don't know what the specific number is on how much money the estate has made on just that. But it's a lot.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And like I said, I do see this becoming a big deal because as we move forward into the future of the film industry, streaming is here to stay. And yes. streaming is going to be prevalent for a very long time. So a lot of filmmakers and a lot of people who are looking to make money, especially with off IPs and royalties, are going to be looking to the streaming services.
Yes. And earlier we talked about, you know, how does this connect to, you know, him getting his own IP, which 30 years, you know, or it was 20, sorry, 25 years.
25 line, years, yeah.
Yeah.
Which we start talking like, well, actually, it actually opens up doors way more than most people think.
Mm-hmm.
Because this film can be franchisable, or at least add an anthology world, or essentially just build off of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what he's planning to do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So as you do that, you're allowed to, you know, pretty much create a universe, which means bring an audience in. They want to see more of it, merchandise and stuff, you know, yeah. start spilling out of it. But then as well, you get into the whole thing about, what was the other stuff about? Oh, we're also moving towards the age of actors turning to directors, turning to filmmakers, turning into producers, turning into owners.
Yeah, yeah.
Studio owners. Because like we talk about Elijah Wood, owns his own studio. Ben Affleck.
Owns his own film studio. Yeah, yeah.
Studio. And also, didn't
Brad Pitt, yeah.
Brad Pitt owns his own. Who owns the financial one?
That's Matt Damon and Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, or yeah. them two, right.
Yeah.
So now they're also financing films as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I certain down the road, we're going to start seeing people who are going to start distributing films as well. Mm-hmm. And what I talked about earlier was that you no longer have to go to the studio to get your film distribution. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go to the studio to go, you know, to get it to the theaters.
You go direct to the filmmaker.
And that's it. Now that we're doing streaming, guess what? We go straight to the, straight to streaming. So now you just cut the, you know, where a studio wants $100 million, $200 million. Guess the director's more happy receiving that $50 million.
Mm-hmm. I just pictured this now, just like for Ryan Coogler, like at a press conference. Like, Mr. Coogler, congratulations on success for the new Sinners film. What do you plan to do now? We heard rumors that you're planning new franchises. Yes, I plan to make my own dark universe.
Shut up.
That's, dude, honestly, I would want to see this be like, expand more on this.
Yeah. Would you guys actually want to see like more of an actual universe based around Sinners?
Yeah, I would, because we're like, dude, this is just one era, but imagine you're also able to do it, you know, a sequel or another film about, you know, what's more recent times. Mm-hmm. Also, you could do a prequel on where it originated from.
Would you like to still keep it a concept of vampires? Or we're like, no, now we got like werewolves around this time. Like I said, it could be its own version of like Universal Monsters.
It could. Honestly, you could do it where...
just time periods.
Different like, time periods, different places of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So you could have, you know, right there, that one era, they had the vampires. Other places had werewolves. Other places had, you know.
Could you legally do that?
Actually, you could. Yeah, because
technically they don't own any rights. You can't own the concept of vampires. Can't own the concept of werewolves. But if you make your own interconnected universe based off folklore monsters, would there be any grounds for a universe to compare it to?
No, you definitely could do about cryptids. I mean, like I said, they could do one. You could hire another filmmaker to do about Wendigos.
Yeah, yeah.
You could do Sasquatches. You could do, you know, you could do whatever you want.
Like, I know there is this post. I don't know if it's 100% real or not, but it does have Warner Brothers symbol and emblem, like the Sinners cinematic universe with different titles.
Yeah.
Some of it being, obviously, we got Sinners, and then we have Field of Sinners in 2026. And then Tears of Sinners, Limerick of Sinners, Limerick for Sinners, 90s and Sinners, Glitter and Sinners, and then Sinners 2.
Then it goes to Sinners 2.
And that's in 2032 or something like that. So I don't know if that's actually real. No,
that's definitely not real. That's a joke.
Yeah. That's like, a whole
joke. That's got to be a whole joke.
Yeah.
But yes, he says he has expressed interest in it. So the thought of it isn't entirely out the window, but he is interested in a Sinners cinematic universe.
Mm-hmm.
But this isn't the only part of his list of demands as well that he had for not only ownership up to 25 years. He also... which was interesting, Coogler demanded first dollar gross.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
Remember? But that, like I said, that is slowly becoming more of a thing for film directors, where it's like, all right, first dollar gross, you get first opening weekend. Maybe sometimes you get residual percentage of the second opening weekend. But then after that, bam, that's what you made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which, I'll put the numbers right now for box office. I compared it to three films, Minecraft and Accountant 2.
Mm-hmm.
Sinners, Friday on the 18th. Made $19 million.
Mm-hmm.
Minecraft made 16. Minecraft makes 16, 15, 8 million. That's how it was from Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Got it.
Sinners went from 19, 16, 12 million dollars.
Okay.
Accounting just released on the 25th. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 9 million, 9 million, 5 million. Sinners, that same exact time frame, which is the 25th through the 27th, 13, 18, 13.
Wow.
Damn. Okay.
So it still did way more than Count 2.
A lot of people are still going to see Sinners, man.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That Count 2 was a big film they were prepping up to when it released. It was going to be a big box office thing. The actual projected numbers were big, but it still sounds like it's going to be overcasted by Sinners.
Yes. Yeah. I still didn't even see the first one.
It's still like Sinners is still beating out Minecraft and Count 2. Mm-hmm. It's beating out all those. And it's funny that the, unfortunately, like, I really hate saying this fucking word. The mainstream media. I hate that word. Yeah.
The mainstream media is just making it out to be something entirely different. I mean, the Sinners, how do we know they're not turning the frogs gay?
Like, I hate that term, but unfortunately, it is true.
I better change up the voice, though, to the most recent ones where it's like. I'm just saying, the guy did heroin for 14 years. All right, I ain't gonna take much health advice from that dude.
But
anyway, sorry.
Okay, what was I?
You said the mainstream media.
Okay, yeah, the mainstream media. But I hate saying that word. But they're trying to downplay Sinners. They're saying, well, it's still not making enough as
yeah, the variety.
Yeah, yes, yeah, one. Yeah.
That was weird.
It's because of the fact that he's still recognized as a young director. Yeah. Like, I know a lot of people are going to be trying to jump the gun. It's like, oh, because he's black. It's like, no, it's more like an ageism thing where it's like, you haven't put in the 20 years, the 30 years. You're not Spielberg level. You're not Christopher Nolan. You know, they're doing that already.
Bro, Spielberg was young as shit when he delivered Jaws.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Do you guys got anything else to say for this before we close out? Anything you expect for the future for this to come up?
This is, I mean, I'm really excited to see what this leads for other filmmakers, especially someone like, you know, people like us, you know, the ones up and comers.
Yeah.
To, you know, hopefully they don't, you know, ruin it for everyone. Someone does ruin it for everyone because there will be that one person.
It will be that one person, yeah.
But the idea of, you know, eventually you could negotiate a time where I would finally own this project, whether maybe like 20, 30 years, whatever it is. At least that's, you know, something to look forward towards.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this might be, though, only a temporary thing while Hollywood is hurting. I mean, once profits start coming back in general, they might be a lot more stricter. See what I'm saying? Because they are hurting. Hollywood is hurting right now.
They could, like I said, Hollywood, the big studios are hurting.
Yeah.
But remember, like I said earlier, there are a lot of actors who are moving towards the back end, and they're more happy and willing to work with their own kind.
Exactly. No, that actually does make a lot of sense too. And a lot of these small independent actors making their own film studios, they are actually getting distribution rights. That's the biggest thing. It's not just filming it. They are actually getting distribution rights themselves.
Like, final note, because these, okay, small filmmakers are not worried about making a worldwide success. They're not worried about India's numbers or China's numbers. They're not worried about that.
They're always working domestically. Yeah.
Yeah. They're working. If they can bring $2-3 million to their own pockets, they're happy. So honestly, like I said, we'll see in a few years what this leads to.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. We want to thank everyone for listening to this week's episode. I'm curious on how you feel about tonight's topic. How do you feel about directors like Ryan Coogler getting complete film rights after a certain amount of time for the films? Do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's bad? You can leave a comment below if you're watching this on a Red Band Podcast YouTube channel for listeners to discuss episode topics and various other film-related news. We put out episodes every Wednesday for our audio listeners and Fridays for those who would like to watch our videos. For audio listeners, you can find a Red Band Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. And of course, I'll say again, you can watch our video format on our Red Band Podcast channel on YouTube. And before I fully close out, Mike Kessel's last notes for you guys.
Yes, as Anthony has mentioned, all the different ways you can be able to watch, listen to us, including watching us on YouTube at youtube.com/theredbandpodcast. Look for the screaming microphone and you should be able to find us. That way you can be able to watch the clips and highlights of these episodes in which they come out. Videos usually come out every Friday at 5 a.m. and audio comes out every Wednesday at 5 a.m. as well. And of course, you can be able to subscribe to our Patreon account. You can subscribe to our Instagram account. Shit, subscribe to all three, and that way you can keep up with everything that we have to offer, as well as watching full episodes, watching uncut episodes, watching deleted episodes, and all the kind of episodes, and blah, 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 you know, all that we got. Please subscribe to our Patreon account. We greatly appreciate it, because more subscribers equals more content. We would really like to continue doing this without interruptions, because I know the past week has been crazy on my half, so I'm sorry about that. So we want to make sure that there's no interruptions, so that way we can keep giving these to you guys without any errors or pauses in between. So please subscribe, consider subscribing, share to somebody that you believe would also subscribe. And of course, you can be able to listen to us on the go at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Again, look for the screaming microphone and subscribe to that too. Share with a friend or family you think might enjoy it on their commute to work, or just their walk around the block, or on the treadmill, or just at the gym, just or any overall just movie lovers. Be sure to share with them so that way we can, you know, get those subscriptions and leave that 5-star review and leave a comment down below and all that good shit. All that stuff, you know? All that stuff that comes with it. All right, I'm going to pass it back before I fuck up anymore.
All right, guys, you heard it from Mike. Please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next time.
Later, taters.